Let's go!
Welcome to Friday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Kane Brown will be in later. It's going to be awesome. He's going to come and hang out, and we'll do an interview. And I think he's bringing a couple of his guys in his band, and they're going to perform. So Kane Brown in a little bit. We will debut a new spinoff feature on the show coming up. Amy's Fun Facts will have its own segment this hour. Because people loved it so much in the pile, we're not going to move it there. Feel good about that?
Yep.
All right. Let's see what's happening with everybody in our segment called What's the Haps? Hey!
Hey! What's the Haps?
I'd like to call Scuba Steve to the microphone in the glass room, Mike D to the microphone in the studio, Amy.
Oh, wow.
Here's what I'd like to bring up to you guys. And I want to make sure that, and let's have an honest conversation, because I no longer send text messages with words. I'm all push the button and talking to my phone at all times.
That's right.
It's to the point now where I just push the talk memo button and I'm thinking something, I fired off. I will send Mike D show ideas. I used to write him in emails and be like, hey, will you put some, I'll print this out for me, all these ideas I have for the show the next day. Now I just hit the button and go, here, put this. I just talk it. With Scuba Steve, who's our executive producer, I send him like 4 a day.
You do, yes.
On all kinds of topics. Sometimes I'll just feel like it's a diary. With Amy, I'm just like, bah, 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 bah. Even Morgan number 2, I was coming into work and I was like, how do we feel about this? Or are you annoyed by the fact that, because you can't, you have to be in a certain place to hear these.
Right, mm-hmm. you can't listen to it all the way right away.
How do we feel about this?
And then,
honest talk, Amy, you first.
I'm getting used to them. I don't mind them. I get it now because it saves you a bunch of time from having to talk. I mean, to type out everything, especially if it's a thought, like a long thing. So it makes sense. I just need to get more on board with doing it. I don't do it myself, but I don't mind you doing it. At first it's weird, but now I'm used to it.
Scuba Steve?
I've never got them before except for you. I'm actually a fan of it because I'm old school. I like voicemails.
Oh.
So voice memos is a kind of a new refresher for me and a new version of that. So I'm for it.
Thank you, Papa. How old are you, Scuba?
I'm 30, almost 34.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I'm an old soul.
Young,
but I like them.
So you're okay with it?
I'm totally cool with it. Keep sending my way.
All right. Mike D, I send you a lot.
Yeah. I think it's great because I can go back and transcribe them and get all the notes down. So when it's like when it's a long thought process you have of like, here are all the ideas I have, I can go and I'll write them down.
Amy, sometimes I'll do 2.5 minutes on Mike D. It's like a whole segment of the show. I'm like, oh, buddy, coming around. Here we are on Bob's phone. Mike D coming at you here. And I'll just do whole talk. Okay.
But they expire,
and
right?
No, you can save them.
I didn't know that.
You can save them and listen back.
Well, I thought they were, I'm glad you guys don't think they're annoying because I am all about them. And I'm sending them all the time. Morgan number 2, you look like you don't like them?
No, I don't like them at all. I hate them because like you'll message me when I'll be like at the gym or I'll be like at dinner or something and I'll be like, I'll forget about it because I won't keep the notification of the text message. I'll like see it and I'll be like, crap, I can't listen to that right now. So then I have to remember to go back to listen to it.
True.
Whereas I like just having the notification to like keep up.
3 versus 1 to keep them though, so I'm keeping them. I can see where they'd be annoying because if you can't listen to them right then, you can't see. With the text, you can just read it, whatever the situation is. I can read a text right now as I'm talking to you guys.
With Mike D, he could probably copy and paste and email him whatever you sent if you texted it, but now he's having to transcribe it.
It's like a court reporter.
He's like, oh wait, hold on, say that again.
I do have to listen to him like 2 or 3 times to get everything.
Yeah, make sure he gets it right. I mean, there's pros and cons.
Okay.
I'm into it.
On your phone, if you have an iPhone, in your text message, you will see In the message thing, it looks like a little wave thing.
Yeah.
I just push it and hold it down, and I'm all the time like, blah, 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 send, blah, blah, send. All right, I'm in. I'm gonna do it for another month or so, but it's my communication method on my phone is now the voice text. All right, good. Feel pretty good then. I come out of this feeling positive. That's what's up with me. Hey!
Hey, what's the hats?
Amy.
Oh, man. Like, right now, I need to go to South Carolina because there's this animal rescue group that put out a call for piggy cuddlers. They have 100 rescued pigs that they got from this animal hoarding situation in Kentucky, and it's called Cotton Branch Farm Sanctuary, and they are looking for 100 people, or however many people, they've got 100 pigs, to come and cuddle with them, to do belly scratches, feed them cookies, and sit with them and talk to the pigs and get them ready for their new home because, I mean, they rescue these pigs. They got to have somewhere to go, so they're looking for new families to take in these pigs, but they're not socialized.
Are they pigs, like farm pigs, or like potbelly pigs?
I think they're the I'm assuming they're the potbelly pigs because it seems to me like a hoarding situation means people were breeding them and then just hoarding them and not doing the right thing.
Sometimes potbelly pigs get you. You don't know how big they're going to get. Yeah. And it's really a big pig.
Turns massive. But gosh.
I almost got one of those once.
A micro pig?
But they're not micro. That's what they say.
I would say potbelly. The two things I've been close to getting and didn't. Potbelly pigs. Mm-hmm. And the mini car.
Oh, yeah. You're so close.
I'm so close to both of them. I was right on the edge of both of them.
One of those.
Yeah.
In a mini? Yeah. You can't see that.
We'll post that story on Facebook, though, if you want to check it out.
Yes, because maybe you could go be a piggy cuddler.
Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
Lunchbox.
So my mom calls me. She's like, hey, I just watched this movie on Netflix called Wish Man. You should really watch it. And I try to humor my mom. I'm like, all right, I'll sit down and watch it. Okay, I cried, and it's all about this motorcycle cop in Arizona, and it's how the Make-A-Wish Foundation was founded. Oh, woo! He meets this terminally ill boy as he's a motorcycle cop, leads him to starting Make-A-Wish.
Oh, wow.
Good movie.
Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Eddie, you're up.
So my wife's been buying these real lovely smelling candles. I'm talking like lavender.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, not that one.
Oh.
Not that one. Just really good smelling candles. And the other day I was like, man, like you keep buying these candles and I really enjoy it. And she finally broke down and told me, she's like, you want to know why I've been buying the candles? Apparently I fart in the middle of my sleep.
What?
Yeah. And like I stink up the room.
That's why she's burning. But aren't you married? Isn't
you're
that
burning
like
candles while you sleep?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
she does. Yes.
That's not safe.
She really?
Would you, while you're asleep, would
you in the
take,
middle,
would you take medicine to fix that for her, or are you just married and it doesn't matter?
No, I would totally take medicine.
Yeah,
I didn't know I was doing that. Well, you don't know what you're doing in your sleep.
Yeah.
Some people talk in their sleep.
I record mine every night and watch it the next day as game film.
So what do you do in your sleep?
I recite poetry.
Oh,
yeah. I speak.
You knit. Yeah. So apparently I do that, and that's why she's been buying candles. And I mean, I'm glad she told me, but what am I supposed to do about it?
The weirdest thing you do in your sleep, Amy.
I don't know. I'm asleep.
Come on, you know. Your husband tells you.
No, I guess
you
I don't.
You talk, Amy?
Uh-uh, I don't.
You don't kick, you don't take the whole bed.
I take all the covers and I kick.
There you go.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, sure. What's the most annoying thing you do while you sleep?
Well, that's good. Annoying because he gets annoyed. So, yeah.
I talk. Sometimes I wake myself up talking.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, blah, blah, and I wake up like, whoa.
Who said that?
Whoa. So, I do that if I'm deep sleeping. Lunchbox?
Oh, I put my hand in the air. And I'm kind of waving at people, or I pet my cheek. Like my hand rubs the side of my cheek.
Interesting.
And Eddie, my wife's taking video, and it's really weird.
We know your habits.
I do. Appreciate I just that. Found out. Thank you.
Yeah, weird.
You're a weirdo. All right. you're actually not. All right, there you go. That's What's the Haps. Hey!
What's the Haps?
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
So I walk in, and they're talking about the Miranda Lambert concert from last week. Which, who went?
I went.
Lunchbox went.
And I went.
Morgan number two went.
Yeah.
Did you go together?
No. Separate. Okay. Separate. I went with my wife.
And how good was it?
Really good. My wife loved it. I had a great time. Very good.
You?
Yeah, it was really good. She put on a great show.
Okay, here's what they're fighting about, Amy. Okay, Lunchbox, you're up first.
This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. So I am sitting down with my wife on our row. We sit down. There's 12 empty seats. We have the whole row to ourselves. Morgan number two walks up with her friend. With all 12 other open seats, pulls out her ticket and goes, hey, lunch, you're in my seats. Like, what? There's 12 empty seats. We have the whole row, and she made me move. Like, just sit down over there. There's 12 empty seats. Are you really that concerned about these two seats when we have the whole row? I thought it was the weirdest thing ever.
What do you think about that?
Where were your seats?
They were just two down.
What?
We just sat down because the whole row was there. We didn't even look at our tickets. We just sat because we had the whole row was empty.
Well, I think maybe, this is just me guessing.
Do you want to go to her side first?
Well, can I guess what she was doing? I guess before she even says, so that way,
go ahead.
Maybe if I'm right, he'll see that this is how people think. She doesn't know who might show up in the middle of the concert and want those seats. And then she doesn't want to just take random seats that aren't hers because she doesn't know where yours are. And then someone could, like, what if a row of people show up and they're like, oh, hey, excuse me, you're in my seat. She probably just wants the seats that she has and wants you to go to your seat. So that way there's no issue with other people. Because it's empty then, but it doesn't mean it's going to stay empty, right?
If that's her reasoning, Lunchbox, will you accept that?
No.
Okay, Morgan number two, what's your reasoning?
That is my reasoning. I just, you know, what was on my
ticket were my seat. So I was like, I need to sit there because in case somebody else shows up, I don't want everybody to shuffle during the concert. Like, that's awkward. So, like, let's just figure it out now. I didn't know that those seats were empty. I thought somebody could be in the bathroom or getting drinks. I have no idea. So I'm like, hey, let's just get in our right seat so, like, we can all move on.
So did they go to the right seats?
Yeah, they moved. But he, like, made a big fuss about it. And
oh,
like,
you made a big fuss in the arena?
Yeah, I was just like, do you see these 12 empty seats? Like, you, I got to sit in my seats. It says it on the ticket. Oh, my goodness.
Do you understand her point, though?
Like, without even knowing her point, that's what my brain
me
went
too,
to.
Me too, because I'm a scaredy cat. Yeah. I don't want to sit in anybody's seats because they're going to come and be like, you're in my seat. And I'm going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't ever move up. I'm scared of that. And I'm kind of seat cop too. Like, I want to sit in my
seat. Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable. I'm still just, I can't believe that's the etiquette that we are so scared to sit two seats down from where your actual seats are.
Then if it was only two seats, why didn't you sit in those two seats that your tickets were on?
I didn't even know what tickets my seats were. I just knew we were in that row, and there was the whole row open, so I literally just
so
sat down.
What if it wasn't Morgan number two? What if it was a stranger that came up and
still,
said...
Oh, still weird. Still no, so
oh,
weird.
Oh, that even amplifies it. That's for sure. A stranger moves you out of those seats.
Yes, like, so even to the stranger, you'd be like, it's cool, dude. There's a whole row. Like, it's fine.
You got the whole row to yourself.
But, you're crazy.
But it's not, you don't know that it's going to stay empty the whole time.
Is it weird to you that we all think...
Yes, I am. I thought you guys would be on my side.
What about your wife?
My wife was like, is she really making us move?
Like, oh, so she's on your side.
Yeah.
But they're like twins, though. Him and his wife, like, they're one and the same. They think the same. They are twins.
It was just so weird that she had to sit in her proper seats or else she wasn't going to feel comfortable at the concert.
It's weird that Lunchbox didn't sit at the seats his ticket said. Why not just...
if you know what row it is, you've obviously looked.
Right.
It said row C. And so when we got to row C...
You stopped looking right then. Like, I will not look at another line on this ticket.
Once I
will not take my eyeballs
once I
down.
I got to row C and I saw the whole row empty, I was like, it doesn't matter where we sit. Just sit down.
I get your frustration, but I have to side with her because I'm sitting in the wrong seats and someone comes up and they're like, hey, you're in my seat.
And it's awkward for
you. Then they got to move you again. Yeah. Just like, hey, you're in our seats, move down. Or trade tickets. If you're in her seats, trade tickets or something.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's a tough one, but I side with Morgan number two on this one. Amy?
Yeah, I go Morgan number two. I go with anybody that would want their seat.
You guys are what's wrong with America.
Eddie?
Wait, what?
Oh, Morgan number two.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Let's just sit in the seats that our tickets are assigned to.
Lunchbox, this whole room, this is what's wrong with America.
I think America's doing all right.
America's great.
We're a good part of that. Yeah. You can go to Facebook if you want and put your input up there.
Oh, wow.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
Lori Loughlin's criminal trial for the college admissions scandal is set for October. Prosecutors revealed that it's when the actress and her husband are going to appear in court in Boston. In other news, the coronavirus outbreak has been declared a global emergency as the cases have spiked tenfold in a week. The first person-to-person spread of the disease in the U.S. has been confirmed in Chicago. And finally, in sports, Tom Brady has sparked rumors that he's leaving the New England Patriots after posting a black and white picture of himself walking out of the Patriots stadium on Twitter. Still no word on what that means. Yes, Bobby
Bones. Terry in Baltimore, you're on the Bobby Bones Show. Terry, what's happening with you?
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hey, Bobby, I read in your book that you worked with like a speech therapist to get rid of your accent.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself lapsing into it when you're talking to some country stars with thick accents?
Yeah. I mean, I think I haven't gotten rid of my accent totally, but what happened when I was in college, I thought, man, if I'm going to be on the radio and I'm going to be wherever this weird job sends me, I need to lose some of my accent. And so I went for free because they were teaching speech pathology so you could work with some of the college kids that were learning how to teach people later in their career. And I worked on my eyes, because in Arkansas, your eyes aren't, they're eyes.
Mm.
And so it'd be like, I'm feeling fine. Oh, and that's normal. Your eyes then turn to eyes. Another one you do is fishing, your ings. Because growing up, it's really small things that you work on that you try to eliminate anyone knowing where you're from. I still have a bit of a Southern accent, no doubt about it, because a lot of my friends that live in New York or that live in mostly the eastern side of America give me a hard time about it still. Because I'll be on American Idol, which is a national show, and they'll be like, oh, the hillbilly's on American Idol, and that's fine. But when I get tired, you start to fall back and you get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm tired, I'm just tired. I'm tired.
Tired.
I'm tired. So yeah, my accent does come out either when I'm tired or when I go back home to Arkansas and I'm there around some of my friends for a long period of time, you kind of just go back into it. Tara, you're in Baltimore. Do you hear it often? Like, do you hear it in me when I talk?
Rarely.
Mm.
And I've got family and friends all over the South. But I do know when, I mean, and I grew up on the East Coast, but when I visit South, I start thinking in an accent.
Nice. When I'm tired, when I'm talking to folks, and some words I use are very Southern words that were just in my vernacular that I don't think about. Like, I didn't know that washing detergent was called that regularly until you guys started making fun of me on the show, because I would say, hey, I was going to get some washing powders, and you guys are like, ah, oh, look at the, yee-hee, look at the hillbilly.
It's detergent.
Yeah.
But washing powder, yeah.
So there are certain things that I say too, that words that I've also tried to eliminate, but I don't mind being regional at this point. Like, I think it definitely is who I'm from. I really worried about that in the first part of my career because I didn't want to be attached anywhere. Now I'm happy to be attached to where I'm from. So that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about that in a while, Terry. I appreciate that.
Okay, enjoy the show. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, you have a good day too.
Now, you don't drink because you've never had anything to drink. But if you were to ever start drinking, I could see your accent coming out then. That's when you hear some people too. Like, if they have a couple drinks, then their accent starts to slip back in because I guess they just get more relaxed. Because you really have to...
How many grapefruit and club sodas do I need before I start falling back into that?
I don't know.
I see a lot of people because that's my drink now. I try to do 70-30. I do 70% grapefruit juice with 30% club soda or sparkling water. And I see a lot of people on Instagram story tagging me because they're making it now. I hated grapefruit juice until like a month ago. I hated grapefruits, grapefruit juice. I hated any, it's just, it reminded me of my grandma would eat when she was alive. But for some reason, I'm into it now. It's kind of a thing. It is my drink. If I'm flying, I'll ask for cranberry and club soda. When they go, they push a little cart down and now I'll get that. But
yeah, they don't have grapefruit juice.
They don't have it. Because they look at you stupid too.
Yeah.
Can I get a grapefruit 70%? And you just get it. You just get it and you be quiet. Bobby Bones. Come on. I love it when we do segments that are so popular they become spinoffs. And that's what we're going to do now. Because in the pile next hour, Amy would do on Friday's Fun Fact Friday instead of stories. But people love it so much. We're now going to do its own Fun Fact Friday segment.
Yeah.
So the pile will no longer have fun facts.
Right, but it's his own fun fact now. This is his own segment.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready? Ray, do you have any kind of music to celebrate that today is Fun Fact Friday for the first time? It's its own. By the way, Amy, congratulations on getting making its own segment there. It is now time for Fun Fact Friday. These are five fun facts on a Friday. Amy, begin.
So NASA shows the movie Armageddon during their management training program. New managers are given the task of trying to spot as many errors as possible.
Oh, that's interesting. Like in the aeronautics and in the preparing yourself for space?
Mm-hmm. At least 168 have been found.
Oof.
So just know that.
Did
the
they not get
not-
a consultant when they did that movie? That's what disappoints me most. That
what
they did
movie?
Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Oh.
That's what she's talking about.
Okay.
They didn't get someone to consult them on what really happens.
Like, well, then sometimes entertainment wins, you know? Like, it might be like, that could never really happen. Well, okay, for the sake of the movie, we'll throw it in.
It's true.
So that's probably why.
They're like, Steve Buscemi would never be. Isn't he the guy?
Yes, he's one of them.
Isn't that the guy? Is that Steve Buscemi in Las Vegas with Nick Cage?
I don't know.
No, Buscemi's one of the oil guys.
Is he?
Yeah.
In Armageddon?
Yeah.
Did you know Steve Buscemi was a firefighter?
No.
For a lot of his early life?
Really?
And then when 9/11 happened, he went back and went back to the fire station.
Wow.
Wow.
Bonus fact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun fact.
Yeah.
All right, what else, Amy?
So you're about 1 centimeter taller in the morning when you first get up than when you go to bed. This is because during the day, the soft cartilage between your bones, it gets squashed and compressed. So you're taller, and then throughout the day, you go...
Oh, gravity. Wow. That makes sense. You're standing tall.
And so it smushes you down.
Did you know you're about 3.5 pounds lighter? I would, because yes. I weigh myself 3 times a day in the morning. All right, what else?
So we call chicken and turkey legs drumsticks because back in the day, it wasn't polite to say the word leg at the dinner table. Like in the 1700s and 1800s, you couldn't be like, pass the leg. Same thing with breasts and thighs.
They called it white meat, dark meat exclusively, and then, yeah, no legs, drumsticks. So it all is from back then of what was appropriate to say at the dinner table. And now we say chicken breast, like, no problem.
Now we can, obviously.
I would have.
So the chills you get when listening to music are caused by... Do you know what? You get chill. We all get certain songs affect us, and you get a chill.
I would say, I don't know the answer to this. Is it a re-triggering of a memory that you...
That does happen, but there's a release of dopamine in the body, and that's what's causing the chills. So that's why. So next time you're listening to a song, if it affects you, just know, oh, that's the dopamine.
Hey, no, I've never had that conflict with myself where I'm like, well, that's the dopamine. And nor do I think I ever will be like, well, that's the dopamine kicking in. Probably well, a little too advanced for self-conversation.
Now you know what it is. Yeah. And then I guess is this five? Lastly?
I don't know. I think what we should do next week, though, because this is the trial. This is like the pilot episode.
Yeah, because like I don't...
It's gone straight to series, but this is still the first episode. I think we do... Number one. And it's five. We have the thing that's like, and we do five fun facts and we separate it by numbers.
Oh, then you'll count for me.
Yeah.
That would be better. So Will Smith, he grew so enamored of his co-star in I Am Legend, the dog, that he tried to adopt her when filming was finished, but the dog's trainer could not be persuaded to give the dog up. But
yeah,
Will
like
Smith
if that's
tried.
Your dog, yeah. I don't care if it's Tom Hanks or Will Smith, Mark Grace, my hero, David Letterman, Howard Stern. I'm not giving you my dog.
Mm-hmm, but I mean, he tried.
That's
he tried hard. They had a bond. I mean, in that movie. Oh, gosh, that movie.
A dog that's trained.
It gets you, huh?
I'm just
moved right now. I'm like, holy crap, can you believe a dog would be good? Oh, poor guy.
I know, it's hard. You'll get there. You'll get there.
No, you're the dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So there's...
Then we'll have fun facts. Right, yeah.
Friday, this is
going to be something.
Okay.
I feel good this is going to be something.
If anything, you go into your Friday locked and loaded with... things to throw at people randomly throughout the day. Well, did you know?
Funny you bring that up.
Funny you bring up chicken.
It's dopamine.
Legs. Bobby Bone
Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Brantley Gilbert credits Keith Urban for helping him through a really difficult time in his life.
Keith Urban became a friend of mine in a time when, you know, I was making a transition in life. I honestly don't know if I'd be sitting in this room if it weren't for that man and him taking time out of his life to come talk to me. It was a time when I stopped drinking and stopped doing some other things and was just kind of unsure about moving forward. And he talked to me, and I'll never forget that as long as I live.
New music out today. Carly Pearce shared a new song from her upcoming self-titled album dropping on Valentine's Day. The song is called You Kissed Me First. If I wake up in your t-shirt, just remember you kissed me first. And Hot Country Nights released a follow-up song to their debut single, Pick Her Up. The song is called Asphalt.
It ain't my fault. It's that asphalt.
Yeah, I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this FedEx driver named Melvin J. Marlett, and I just want to give him a shout out because a video of him went viral of him shoveling snow from a customer's porch. Like he went up, dropped off the package, and then she got a doorbell camera alert that some activity was happening on her porchway. But before he went and got back in his truck, he grabbed a shovel and started clearing it because he realized, you know, it hadn't been done. And so after she started sharing about it and posting it online, she found out that, yeah, it was him, and she was able to thank him. And he just said, you know, I hope this is something that anybody would have done. Like, if you take care of your customers, they'll take care of you. And I was like, shout out. Because I had a driver drop off a toy for Stevenson. And you know how around Christmas time, there was videos going up of doorbell cams of FedEx guys going above and beyond to hide the toys behind trash cans or on the side of the house so the kids won't see? Not in my house. Doorbell rang because they ring and then go to their truck. And Stevenson opens the door. But facing the front door is the package with the picture of the police motor scooter and everything. So I was like, that's not for you. That's not for you. My driver must have been not paying attention that day. But shout out to this guy.
I'm watching it here. He drops the package off and he has a shovel with him.
Yeah.
And then is shoveling it on the way out.
Totally does not have to do that.
You got
to
remember him at Christmas time, right? When it's time for a Christmas.
That's
if you have the same driver still then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I just thought that's so above and beyond.
Good on him. Yep. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Vancouver. A man thought it'd be a great idea to break into a cell phone store, steal all the expensive cell phones. So he breaks the front window, and they have those gates that come down. And he's able to bend them back, and he slides underneath, gets in. And he realizes, I'm not going to be able to get out. He's trying to bend it back, and he can't. He's stuck in the store.
He bent it in. And they couldn't get through the hole that he had created.
Yeah, so he was just stuck in the store, and you see him on the camera just shaking and going, let me out!
He put himself in jail. Yeah.
And so police arrived, and they arrested him.
There you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Experts advise ditching these unnecessary wedding expenses. I bring this up because Raymundo is getting married October 24th. First marriage. Just got engaged.
First marriage, yep.
Well, you have a lot to learn about weddings.
Absolutely.
You've been married before.
Agreed.
Here we go. Number one, get rid of, don't have, personalized party favors because they'll be left behind at the reception and nobody cares.
I don't even know if we've bought those yet, so I'll just tell my fiance to leave them off the list.
Amy, what do you think about that? Because I think a lot of people aren't concerned if you take them with you. They just like for it to look classy.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you kind of fall in that?
Gosh, I don't even know if I know we had a party favor, but I don't even remember what I did.
They're saying you should leave some, instead of having a personalized item, like give them something edible if you're going to do that.
Like I think like that's
sweets
what we did.
Or mm-hmm. chocolate.
Like
or,
in a cute little baggie and they grab it on their way out.
Because at least they'll use it and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing they say, ditch these. Multi-part invitations or fancy envelopes when you send out the invitations. What are you doing for that?
Yeah, we're talking to Walmart right now, trying to get some invites, bridal showers, all that taken care of.
The envelope is the first thing that gets tossed. So if it's super fancy and it costs a lot,
yeah,
you didn't waste
it. Nobody's
that money.
Paying attention to
some
that.
Some of those are really
fancy. Oh my gosh, invitations can be so expensive. You know what? I went to Kinko's and I printed my own.
You know what? Somebody sent me one about a month ago and it had glitter in it. I'm so ticked.
Oh, yeah.
Because I opened it and it was like I got glitter bombed. I had glitter everywhere and it's from a wedding invitation. Photo booths can be fun, but they're extremely pricey. You thinking about photo booth?
Yeah, we got a buddy, one of the bridesmans. I think he owns a photo booth.
Oh,
so
cool.
Might be free.
Oh,
you know,
yay.
I'm going to tell you, I like the photo booth.
Me too.
It's fun.
I feel like that's worth it.
That's a fun memory, and you can also post it on Instagram.
Yes, they're good.
Printed program. Are you guys doing that for the wedding?
The rundown is pretty simple. It's going to be an 18-minute ceremony from what we've seen already.
I know, but you put like all the names of everybody that's in the bridal party and that everyone knows who's who.
We're doing all that on Instagram and having a website.
Okay, okay.
Good for you, dude.
That's great. You don't
save
have to
money.
Have the program.
I'm with that. And then finally, they say trendy dessert stations can be even more expensive than a wedding cake. I guess what have you guys decided on where you're spending that money on the food?
Honestly, the catering stuff we haven't touched yet. You just do that a couple months out. The dress was the main thing you had to line up 8 months ahead of time. Everything else you can almost push to the last second.
I wouldn't push catering to the last second, but or your cake.
You just call Chick-fil-A and be like, yo.
A bunch of nuggets.
Yeah. You went to marriage counseling with your fiance?
Yeah. So we to have our pastor, you had to have a 1 day of marriage counseling. And we knocked it out. It was a couple hour session. He said we're ready to go.
What'd you learn in that session?
It was basically, you got to love each other. This is a signed document that you got to do this the rest of your life. You can't go back on this. And he just wanted to know, do we truly love each other? Are we doing it for the right reasons? And we said yes. And then it was all at Starbucks. And he goes, you guys are ready to get married.
You had marriage counseling at Starbucks?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Over a latte. It was awesome. And it was so fast.
Do they ever say no?
Maybe. I wonder if
they... It was like, just looking at you two, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to say like,
I have no reason to think this bitch is a hunch. It's like, oh my God. Have you picked your other three groomsmen yet?
No, I have not yet.
So you have three that you've picked and made public.
Correct.
And three you haven't shared or picked?
I've picked, haven't shared.
You haven't shared. And when do you plan to do that?
Whenever. The time's right. Let the universe speak to me.
Did you see his Instagram picture?
Of the three and the
it's
three
the
question
three
marks.
Solid ones. Yeah. It's going to be a
it's
game
like
show
the,
now.
It's like the Howie Mandel open the case.
Yeah. Deal or no deal.
Deal or no deal. Yeah. Everybody gets asked for a case and you open it up and it's a yes or a no. He also, I tweeted at the casting person for Big Brother 22 for you.
Yep.
Ray was like, I'll do Big Brother. Or she tweeted and I was like, I got the perfect person for you, Raymundo.
They said they're having Big Brother 22. They're doing auditions in March and then they're going to film this summer. It would actually dovetail and work nicely with my wedding. I would get out right the same month basically as my wedding if I won the show. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll be out in a couple weeks.
Wait, your wedding is
in October. Oh, the film's
so
live.
So you can do Big Brother.
Yes.
And then come right out.
Perfect timing, right up to the wedding.
So there'll be the wrap party and all that stuff. And then, yeah, 3 weeks later, the wedding.
How long would you be gone from the show?
3 or 4 months.
Mm.
Typically, they spread it out. It's the whole summer, because when they first get in there, it's starting to be the heat of L.A., and then towards the end of it, it's the dog days of summer. I mean, those people are starting to get sunburned, and it is hot.
Could you promise me that if you went on that show, you would come back to the show?
Yes.
Like, you're not going to try to do something, because, you know, there's not much of a career after just Big Brother.
Correct. I would absolutely want to do this show. This is my day-to-day, and if I had that opportunity to come back to it, yes.
I could probably sign off on you going.
And I would also guarantee you that I'm going to make it far.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
That would be really cool.
We could figure it out.
I'd hate to lose him because he's one of the most valuable parts of this whole organization.
It'd be hard.
But I think I'd totally be up for letting you go.
And I'll always name drop on the live feeds of the show and everything. Tell people to watch and listen.
Probably get like 9 more people. I did tweet her. I was like, hey, I got the perfect person for you.
Dude, I appreciate that. I was laughing really hard.
Because if you have a blue check mark and someone else has a blue check mark, that you pop up in their feed early.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got it. All right. I'm up for you to go on Big Brother if you can get it.
Yeah, I got 2 months to prepare.
If you get closer, I can probably make a couple of calls. I can't get you on. There's no way.
Yeah!
No, hold on. I can't get you on, but I probably know people that could talk to people if they're looking for a male mid-30s from the South. You know, you got to kind of fall
alpha
into
male.
What they're looking for.
Engaged. I think that's one step even better. Okay. They love an engaged guy. I got a ring on when I'm in the house. It's something they're going to enjoy and want.
You're engaged.
You're not going to have a ring on.
Or will you be married by the time it goes?
Hey, if they want it for the cameras, I'll put a ring on.
He wears a diamond ring.
You'd be like, my fiance gave me this ring.
All right, keep us updated.
All right.
The Bobby Bone Show. Hey. Want to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Except for a mom who was the getaway driver for her 15-year-old son.
Oh, man.
A mom and her 15-year-old son are both facing charges after he robbed a convenience store at gunpoint, and she was the lookout, the getaway driver.
That's like the Goonies.
What do you mean?
That's kind of the mom would be like the leader of the cult crew with all the sons.
I haven't seen Goonies since I was like 10. Yeah.
I think it's on Disney Plus now, so if you want to watch it.
Morgan, number two, you ever seen Goonies?
No.
How are you doing with all your, speaking of Disney Plus, all your movies?
Well, I took a break after watching Marvel before I start Star Wars, because I'm still kind of like in the superhero world, and now I've like started to watch spinoffs from Marvel. So I'm kind of still in the superhero world, so I need a little break before I start Star Wars.
How many Marvel movies did you watch?
17.
That's insane.
That's
oh
crazy.
My gosh.
It was
23.
23 movies between Christmas and like a week ago?
Yes. Yeah.
That is, I don't think I've seen 23 movies in the last 3 years. Good for you. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So do you like sad movies? I know you like sad music, but sad movies?
That's tough. I like movies about dogs, but the bad thing is most dog movies end sad.
True. Like, oh man, what was that one?
So I don't know that I love sad movies, but I like movies, and the things that I like movies to be about often end sad.
What's your favorite movie?
My Dog Skip is the best dog movie possibly ever. Oh. I mean, I can cry just thinking about that movie. Favorite movie ever is Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey. Playing Andy Kaufman.
Kind of sad. A little dark, because
I don't know about dark. It's a biography.
I know, I've only seen bits and pieces of it, and I was kind of sad.
It is kind of sad overall.
He gets sick.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I don't know that's sad, but I like real stuff. And sometimes, and you know what? Reality's sad a lot of times.
Well, I think this could apply to music too, because it music with you, even though it's sad, it's releasing some sort
love
of emotion.
Sad music.
Right.
Oh, and like Cookie Monster, but with sad songs.
Well, I bring all this up because a psychologist explained why we like sad movies, or even if you don't, why watching a sad movie is good for you. And there's 4 reasons why. Sad movies let people experience emotions. They create a sense of empathy and bonding with the characters. The story often results in people feeling better about their own lives, and then crying can release oxycontin.
Oxycontin.
Wait, what in the
keep
world?
Crying.
Oxytocin and other endorphins. So
basically, we just want to feel.
Yeah.
And sad movies
allow you to do that. Yeah. So sometimes maybe you just need to. You hear like people are like, I just need to put on a good sad movie, get a cry in, and like feel better.
Maybe what's the most sad movie? And when I say, what's your favorite sad movie? We'll go around the room here. Favorite sad movie, Amy?
Steel Magnolias. Mm. I cry every time.
What do you think my favorite sad movie is? Because My Dog Skip comes as his favorite dog movie. That's a tough one. It's very sad. But one of my favorite... I'm going to tell you what got me was... And I don't know if it's sad or not, but Coco.
Coco, yeah.
Holy moly. That's a cartoon.
Emotional.
Up. Oh, my goodness.
Up is a sad movie.
Oh, and those are cartoons. What's wrong with me? Like, I go to like the two cartoons as the most sad movie. Lunchbox?
The saddest movie is The War with Kevin Costner and Elijah Wood.
Eddie?
Ooh, do you ever see Big Fish?
Mm-mm.
Big Fish is about this guy that is just not really close to his dad, and then he gets to know his dad, and then right when that happens, he dies. Mm. Pretty sad.
How about The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith?
Oh my gosh, so
good
sad.
One.
And it ends up, you know, not, but there are parts of that, yeah. Like the bathroom scene where he locks himself in the bathroom with the, in the public. Oh.
What he has to go through?
But you're right. It's like a cutting feeling. Like, I for sure feel right now what I felt then whenever I was watching that movie. All right, what else you got?
Okay, well, my next thing is about if you're feeling pain or sadness, the best thing you can do is have a pet, a dog or a cat. Yes, having one literally can ease the pain when you're going through a difficult situation. Investigators looked at adults who had lost someone who was very close to them, you know, a parent, a sibling, a significant other, and they evaluated how they handled it, whether or not they had a dog or a cat. And the people with pets got through it a lot better.
I'd like to make I'd like to give a theory.
Yes.
As to why I think that is. I think that we have to become more selfless when we have to take care of something. So we don't have as much time for our own sadness if we've got to take care of something.
Yeah, that's you're not so much thinking about yourself.
That's what I would say. I think kids are probably a big factor in that. I don't have kids. I have a dog that doesn't mind. That's all I have right now. But I would think that's a big reason why.
Yeah. But if your dog was more, was minding and being more
sometimes
like.
I get sad about my dog not minding.
And calm and cuddly and stuff. Like, it just can be of comfort.
He's so cuddly. My dog is amazing at two times. When he's going to sleep at night.
And when he's sleeping.
and when he is still sleepy when he wakes up in the morning.
Oh. Same with my kids.
Yeah, those are the greatest. Yeah, we have our best moments then. The rest, it's kind of like a wild card. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Kids are great. 8 right. p.m. to 6 a.m.
What else?
Okay, so Eddie got me this rubber straw thing, like with a case, because I wanted to stop using plastic straws and we're all being more aware and conscious of that. Well, I wanted to talk about this new pin a straw because I know the big thing with like these reusable straws is like, how do you clean them and you carry them around and well, this is a straw that comes with a little case.
It looks like
an AirPod case, yeah. Which is kind of what Eddie gave me. But this case can actually be filled with water and has little brushes on the inside and you can shake it up and it actually cleans the straw and then you dump out the water.
Let me say this.
So you can take
I'm all for the environment. I love the environment, right?
What?
Great. I'm not going to go through all this for a straw. I'm just going to drink it with my mouth hole. Like, this is just a lot of work to not use your mouth hole.
You're not going to shake it up and wash it?
You're not just not going to carry this around with me when I already have a mouth hole. Like, well, what is so...
Sometimes straws are just so... I just like...
Convenient.
But is it worth that convenience to have an inconvenient straw cleaner? You got a freaking car wash in your pocket. Yeah. You got to put a quarter in it. You got to...
Well, in case people are curious, it's a penna straw, P-E-N-N-A. And
I get it. If
you're
you love straws,
it,
I get it.
Yeah. Straws.
Yeah, there you go.
Straw struggle is real. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
All right.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Old man Gene is 81 years old and he's driving down the highway in Florida and all of a sudden he starts having a stroke and he starts swerving, hitting the median and he's just, you know, going out of control. Another driver sees this like something has to be going wrong.
Wow.
Pulls in front of old Gene and runs Gene's car into the median so it stops and causes no more accidents.
Oh, wow.
Saves his life, really.
Whoa.
You know, that's a bold move.
Yeah, risky.
Mm-hmm.
On all fronts. But, and love it. But you're talking about, you're risking your car.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to look in that car and go, I need to do something and risk, and drive your car. And that's crazy.
Yeah, wow.
Good for the. Do you know the person who did the saving?
Yeah, I was going to give him a shout out for being a hero. Jose Clatter.
Jose Clatter.
Saved old man Gene.
That's cool. Wow. I hope that I would do that. I don't know that I would.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I hope I would do that.
I hope he gets a new car.
You would.
I don't know. I never like to give myself too much credit by being a hero.
You're not. I am.
Oh, I appreciate that. Old man Gene, shout out. But really, Jose
Clatter.
Clatter. That's a big one. There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. Hey.
In the next 5 minutes, Kane Brown will be in studio. Looking forward to that. It's also a sad day because it's the very final day of Dustin Lynch doing the Morning Corny. All right, here we go.
And now, the Morning Corny with country superstar Dustin Lynch.
What did the drummer call his twin daughters?
What did the drummer call his twin daughters?
Anna 1, Anna 2. Okay.
Get it? Anna 1.
Anna 2. Now yes, you get I get it. Yeah, no, it's a good one.
You're in a whole different place here.
I
looked at you, you didn't laugh. It's hard. I know, that's what I'm saying. Hey, give it up for Dustin Lynch all week long.
That was the Morning Corny with country superstar Dustin Lynch.
Get it? Anna 1.
Anna 1.
Anna 2.
Anna 2.
You get it.
They get,
now I get it.
They get Anna 2. You got it? All right.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Kane Brown.
All right, welcome to the studio, Kane Brown.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you in a couple weeks since you came out and you played our $1 million show at the Ryman. You know what's crazy is that as soon as you walk out, every word you sing, the entire crowd knows every song. Every word, every song.
Oh, man, it was awesome. That was, I appreciate you letting me come and do it.
It's just, it's amazing to see everywhere you go, people sing all your songs back, even like the secondary cuts, like the B-sides or whatever you call them. What do you credit that to?
I have to say social media and, you know, kind of, I just came up. I didn't really have, I had a job, but it wasn't like a full-time job. It was just kind of like to pay my truck, so my whole other time I had my phone in front of me the whole time, just talking to my fans, kind of getting to know them, asking them questions, just a lot of Facebook Live.
Every time you retweet something, it's like 10,000 retweets. You could be like, just farted, 10,000 retweets. It's amazing on Twitter how much your people like spread your message.
I don't know, man. They're cool, man. Fans are cool.
Kane Brown is here. You called the show once a while ago and we hung up on you.
Yeah.
Because they didn't believe it was you. So you just called the request line. And what did you say? How would you call the request line? Would you say, hey, it's Kane Brown?
Yeah, it was nice, but I was like, hey, it's Kane. And she's like, Kane. I was like, Kane Brown. I was just wanting to call and talk to Bobby. And then they were like, no, it's not, and hung up.
So did you call right back?
No,
or did we call you back?
Y'all called me back. Or actually, Dennis from Sony called me. I was like, hey, did you call the Bobby Bones show? And I was like, yeah, but they hung up, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to be mean or anything. I was just like, okay, that was nice.
You know, we didn't think it was you.
No, yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, we didn't hang up on you. Yeah. We just didn't think it was you.
Yeah.
We didn't think it was you. Kane's going to be playing our iHeart Country Festival, and tickets will go on sale next Friday. But it's Dirk, Sam Hunt, Dustin Lynch, Lady Antebellum, Kelsey, John Party, Chase Rice, and obviously Kane Brown, who's here now. But 1 week from today, get your tickets at texasboxoffice.com. I want to ask you about this truck, because we've talked about it before, but you put it up on Instagram, so I'm going to sell my truck. Did you ever sell it?
I can't get rid of it, man. It's like I've been through so much with it that it's kind of just like a driveway ornament.
So you wanted to sell it, though. Was that like spur of the moment? Like I probably need to save some money?
Well, we, like vehicles is like my number one thing, so we just have like car lot of different cars. Like I bought a 93 Honda the other day with 300,000 miles just to remind me of my childhood, and it's just sitting in my garage, and my wife hates it. And so I don't know, I want to get rid of them, but then I don't.
Are you going to rebuild that thing, or are you just going to let it chill?
No, I think I'm just going to just hold on to it right now and then eventually just get rid of it.
Would you drive your baby in that car? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, it's super safe. I mean, I see everybody moves out of my way if I'm on the road.
Because they're scared of it more than it's safe.
Yeah.
A friend of mine saw you at the mall here in town, and it was you and your wife and your daughter just after you had the baby. Do you get stopped at the mall all the time?
Yeah. Especially with the baby. Everybody wants to see it.
And how do you feel about that? Does anyone come up to you and go, can I hold the baby?
I haven't had that yet. Other than family members and stuff like that, no fans or anybody's asked me to hold it yet. Hold her. I keep saying it. No, hold her.
Yeah, it's a baby.
Yeah.
Has being a dad changed your life on the road?
I've only had her on the road one time.
Does it make you want to get home quicker?
Well, actually, she's going to be out with me every day from now on. Her and Caitlin are going to be out with me, and I think it'll be great. Which the bus now is kind of like my first home anyway.
You feel like you're in the bus almost as much as at your home?
More.
What do you do for fun now? Like, what's fun for you now that you can finally do things? Like, you have access to things now. So what's fun?
I don't know, man. I'm a homebody. I'm always at home. Like if I'm off, especially if I'm off the road, I do not like to get out. Kate will like to go to Target for fun, and I'm just kind of like, oh, you know, I'll stay at home, watch Netflix, binge watch, something like that.
What have you watched lately?
Lately, just movies. I've seen the new Bad Boys 3, Jumanji. I'm a huge movie nerd.
Bad Boys 3, is that, you can't watch that on TV though yet, right? Did you go to the theater?
No,
and watch that?
Yeah, I went to the theater.
Do you do the thing where you shut down the theater?
No.
Oh.
No, I go. I know.
That would be the most baller move.
No,
to
we went to Green Hills, the Green Hills movie theater, and the girl came in there. We got there too late for food, so we were asking, like, can you please just make us food, like fries or anything? We didn't eat dinner because we were coming to watch a movie. And they were like, y'all are so much different than Luke Bryan. Like, Luke Bryan just shuts down the theater, and it's just, I was like, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know it was a thing.
I wonder how much that would cost. You should call Lunchbox and ask how much it would cost to actually, because do you have to pay for every seat? Like, is that enough to shut that? It's like,
that's
like
what I was thinking.
Buying a Southwest flight, because Vince Young was known to do that when he was playing with the Titans. He wouldn't get a private plane. He would just buy every seat on a Southwest flight.
Yeah.
Dang.
And, yeah. And so I wonder if that's what that is, just buying every seat in a movie theater. But Luke, listen, I know, I hang out with Luke some. I don't know him to buy theaters.
I know. I wonder if that's what he really does, or that's just like the
is that
rumor.
The legend of Luke Bryan that's not even real?
Yeah.
The theater rumor.
It could have been like a birthday party too, or something.
Oh yeah.
What are people like in your hometown now that you've kind of blown up?
I mean, everybody's cool and respectful. I don't really get to go back a lot, but you know, when I do, it's just, can I take a picture with you? And yeah, and that's another thing. When you asked earlier, when people sing my songs or whatever, I like, if somebody asked me for a picture, I usually always say yes. I never say no. And also after all my shows, when I first started, I would always stay. Everybody that stayed after a show, I would take a picture with everybody. I remember my second show, I stayed for 4,000 people, and it was like 40 degrees outside. We didn't leave till 4 a.m. It's crazy.
At what point, though, did you have to stop doing that because it wasn't safe for the fans more so than you?
Yeah, we probably our first headline tour was the Monster Tour, I believe. I mean, we still did it, but it was more security. And then once we kind of got to the arena points when we stopped.
Kane Brown is here. Has being a dad changed how you're writing music? Are there new like avenues popping in? Maybe ways you would think of songs that you hadn't thought of songs before?
Not yet, other than for my daughter. My songwriting's changed a lot, though. After this last album, I've kind of concentrated on not as cliche lyrics, and kind of completely all different around music, because I do feel like there's some songs that sound kind of the same, or you've heard situations that are same, they've just changed them a little bit. So now my songs are, I'm kind of nervous about them because they're a little slower, or, you know, like, I don't know if y'all heard the song Me and John Legend.
I saw you on Instagram singing, saying it was coming.
Yeah.
Is it out now?
No, it's not yet.
Okay,
we're still talking about it. I have seen
what you put up.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean talking about? So what happens though? You're talking about it. What does that mean?
Have you written it? Yeah, we've written the song.
Have you recorded it in studio?
Yeah, it's recorded.
But it's not out yet.
Well, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know if we were writing a song for his album, a song for my album, and then we both just jumped on it, and we love it, and his team loves it. So we're just trying to figure out what we're going to do with it.
Meaning who's going to put it out on whose record?
Yeah.
So, but he would probably win, though, if it was like both of you wanted it equally. We'd probably let him have it.
Oh, I don't care. I was just on a song with John Legend.
Yeah.
So.
and how did you and John Legend get together the first time?
It was The Voice the first time. I did his trailer talk. And then my manager's just a really good manager and made it, got a hold of his manager and said we need to write whenever we were in L.A. for Staples Center. And so he made it happen.
So when you go write with John Legend, do you go to his house in L.A. or do you go to like a writing room?
No, we went to a studio. So it was my first time actually getting to write in a studio and record in the studio, which is brilliant. I don't know why artists don't do that already.
Probably because it costs money, though, to have a studio, right? I mean,
yeah, true.
To set a studio aside, you got to pay whatever that fee is to hold it.
Yeah, but you also can go ahead and record it right there. It's finished.
And are all the players there? Like, are there people to... When you're writing with John Legend and you're in the studio, are all the guys that are playing the instruments, guys and girls playing, are they there right then?
Well, I mean, John played the piano and then the other guy played guitar, the producer.
Do you feel like there's a bit of pressure when you walk into a room with John Legend, or are you just...
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, and I messed up because... I mean, honestly, it helped me. But I messed up because I was like, you sing it first. And so I let him sing. And then I was up afterwards, and I was like, oh, man. He's crazy. Even his projection when he talks, like, I told him, I was like, man, I can't even, when I talk as loud as you, I got to yell. And he's just, he could talk to you from right here. They could hear him through the glass back there. It's how loud he talks. And it's, when he sings, it's just like, it's amazing.
Do you go into that room with a bunch of ideas? Like, how does the pitch for, have you said the name of the song yet?
Shoot, what is the name of the song? Last Time I Say I'm Sorry.
Okay, so when you walk in, do you have a bunch of ideas about what you want to write, or did you already go into it going, here's what we're going to write about?
No, you walk in the room and John Legend says, this is what we're writing. and then it's on from there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then how long was the writing session that day?
Maybe an hour.
And so you how long until you actually get the demo or the rough of that first song?
I got it the day we finished it. It did take longer, though, to actually record and everything. But I think altogether we were there for 4 hours.
And now we wait. We're just waiting for you to let us know.
If it was me, y'all know I'd already have it up and running.
You know something that you do that I'm seeing a lot of artists do more so now, but for me, you were the first one that I saw do it, was you were taking all the stuff you're writing and putting it up immediately. Mm-hmm. It was like you just wrote it, you got it on your iPhone, you're putting it up. And I've seen you kind of change that culture with a lot of new artists now. Because you were the first guy I was seeing doing that with almost everything.
Yeah.
And now I see a lot of artists doing it, and I think it's great because we get to hear a lot of stuff that we won't get to hear because you write 70 songs and you pick 10, yeah. You know? But, you know, I would see your Instagram story and I would see music up all the time. And so I think that's a really cool thing you did, being transparent with songwriting that a lot of artists have been doing too. So, you know, good for you there.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's just great for, you know, the fans get to put an input of what song they want released, what they want released first, what they want as your single. And I feel like radio can also help you, because I'll have a radio room and they'll be like, I really like that song that, you know, you put up. Or
The Marshmello song, One Thing Right, is such a good song.
Thanks, man.
What's interesting about that is that was a song, if I'm right about this, that you wrote but you didn't put on a record.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and Marshmello talked, was he like, you have anything? And that's how it happened?
Yeah, we were just talking about doing something together. And I really, really liked that song. I just didn't make my album. So I didn't even send him the actual song. I just sent him lyrics, and he just read the lyrics. And then I sent him the demo, and he kind of came up with everything else.
Do you ever write parts of songs or come up with concepts while you're sleeping?
I do. I'll have dreams randomly, and either I'll wake up and not put them in my notes and forget them, because I'll be like, oh, I'll remember it. Forget them, or I do. And What's Mine Is Yours, which is a song on the first record, that was a dream I came up with.
And you just grab the phone immediately and type in whatever's in your head and then wake up and kind of see what happened next?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that with segment ideas sometimes. Then I wake up and I'm like, what was I thinking when I was sleeping? That's the dumbest idea I ever had.
I'll do another note where I'll put what I was thinking, or like my title, and then I'll put in quotations like what it's about. Because sometimes I'll be like, something with my Nana. And then I completely forget. Yeah.
Are you a melody writer, or do you write lyric? Are you a lyric guy first? If you had to pick one.
Melody.
So you'll go ba 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 ba, and then assign the words after that. You kind of come up with a melody.
Well, in Nashville, I've got a core group of writers that I found, like Matt McGinn, Chase McGill, that are just now starting to get their first number ones. And like Matt's a great lyricist. And so he's also a great melody, but he'll come up with something. And there's this thing that writers do that when they sing on a demo or do something like that, or when they're doing a melody, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just what writers do. And so I'll kind of just change that. I'm kind of like the publicist of plugging a writer in with another writer, like a melody to a lyricist. And then I get in and kind of do both things. I don't know.
You still find a time to write?
Yeah, I write all the time. Any chance I get.
Kane Brown is here. Any of your other any other artists been like, dude, I know you didn't cut that song. Can I have it? You have that happen yet?
I have not had that happen yet.
Are you sending out songs that you're not using?
Mm-mm.
Mm. I know you need some money. Do that.
I want to.
You don't need money, by the way. You don't need money.
No, I want to. I don't know.
Kane Brown is here. We're going to do a game called Fact or Fiction. You just, Amy, you play. You tell me if it's right or wrong. Kane Brown can play Guitar Hero with his feet.
Fact.
Fact or fiction?
Fact. I used to. I don't know anymore, though.
Why would you play Guitar Hero with your feet to begin with?
Because I'm a huge gamer, and I got so good on Expert that, I just tried something new. I can only play on medium, though.
I would never touch that guitar after he was done with
no,
it.
No, that's the thing.
That's disgusting.
I always say this. I always have socks on. I never take my socks off. Like, I always have clean
feet.
So
even when you're playing?
Even when I'm playing. I go to the beach and I'll have my socks on.
Okay.
But the bottom of your socks are still dirty.
No. I'm telling you, I change my socks. I'm particular about my feet. Ask my wife. My wife's like, you got the softest feet in the world. It's kind of weird for a dude.
Fact or fiction, Kane Brown almost joined the Army.
Fact?
They told me no because my tattoos.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I feel like some of the most tattooed up people I know are in the Army.
Yeah, well, I was in high school and I had a Chinese symbol on my neck and I guess they were like...
Oh, what is that? I see it. What does it mean?
It means love.
Oh, did you tell them that?
Yeah.
Did you like, this means love?
I don't know. They took a picture of everything and they just told me I'd have to have it removed.
Wow. Okay.
Kane Brown, fact or fiction? Kane played football in high school.
Fact. I feel like I know Kane so well right now.
Were you good?
I was just athletic. I think I was better at basketball.
Your wife didn't know who you were. His wife didn't know who he was when they met at Topgolf. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
You guys met at Topgolf?
Yeah.
Here?
No, we were in Orlando.
Florida. How did that come together? Did you go up to her? Did she come up to you? What happened?
No, we didn't meet at Topgolf. That was the first place we went after the show, and I kind of like didn't say anything to her, just stared at her awkwardly. And we just knew a mutual friend, and she ended up coming to the show.
All right, the last one. The one thing on it, I think these are all facts.
Fun game.
Yeah. Is it true the one thing on your rider is Jameson whiskey?
It used to be. So that's false.
Okay,
so
what is it now?
Now it's false. Rumplemints.
What?
Rumplemints.
I don't know what that is. Is that
is it like a drink or a mint?
It's a college shot, basically. It's 100 proof.
Nice.
And it tastes like mouthwash.
And do you do a shot before or do you drink it after?
Yeah, it's like our my go-to shot. And then the rest of my band does, Jameson?
Four Roses.
What else do you put on the rider, though?
I'm telling you, I don't ask for anything. I am the most laid-back guy when it comes to anything. Like, I don't know, I grew up with nothing, so it's just, I just show up and do the show, and then my band's always like, yo, we need this.
We need bottles of water, Kane. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
The Friday Morning Conversation with Kane Brown.
All right, Kane has now moved to the Performance Center, which is like 6 inches over, let's be honest. He just moved over, sat in a different chair. Introduce your friends here, Kane.
So my fiddle player is my buddy Lars, and acoustic player is Alex.
How do you find your guys in your band?
Alex is from my hometown. They found me on Facebook when we first started. They've been with me ever since. Lars had to audition. He's one of the two people that auditioned for us. And he's our utility player, plays everything.
Because Lars played with us at the Million Dollar Show, like I stood beside him and I was playing while he was playing. And I think he was looking at me like, you are not good. Is that true?
Not at all.
Okay.
I was looking at that strap, man.
Okay, good. Because I felt like, man, he thinks I suck. And I do. But that's all right. We had a good time. Kane Brown is here, and we're going to play the song Homesick right now. This is the song flying up the charts right now. And here, you guys ready?
I'm ready. I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready.
Why? What? There is no reason.
I'm in the Bobby Bones room.
To be nervous.
I've always seen it from YouTube, but I ain't never been here.
If it's real. All right, here we go. Kane Brown. Hey, guys. So because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby
Bones.
That's great. What are you thinking about when your eyes are closed?
First off, I'm hot. I'm sweating. And
because you're under the lights?
It's early, dude. I do not like singing early. I woke up at 6:30 just to try and warm up. I got in the shower, I had my coffee.
Whew. At the same time? Because that's probably not good.
Well, no.
I don't like waking up early either.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about when I was coming in. I was like, I got to sing. I was like, it's early for y'all to be doing radio.
Yeah, I've been, since I was 22, been doing mornings. And so I've been waking up at 4 o'clock, sometimes 3:30, like my whole life. And it's never been a good morning. I get there about 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when the show's ending, I'm like, all right, it feels good.
Yeah.
But I'm not a morning person either. That's why I appreciate you coming up. Appreciate you coming
up.
No
problem.
And it sounded great.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, thank you. I'm just glad to be here. I was excited. I was like, I never got to do the Bobby Bones show.
Brought your baby with you.
I brought my baby. I was excited. She got to come. She gets to experience it.
Well, we're going to meet her right after. She don't have coronavirus, right? We're all good.
No.
Everybody's good.
Dude, I saw that on TV.
I'm checking everybody. I don't care.
That's pretty bad.
All bets are off.
That scared me.
Everybody might have it. So she's clear. She's clear because I don't have it either.
Yeah. Jimmy Allen just got back.
From?
What?
China.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I text him this morning. I said, are you awake? He hadn't text me back yet.
Whoa. Okay. Why? Why was he there?
All right. Kane Brown. He's playing our iHeart Country Festival. Tickets go on sale a week from today. That was fantastic. And thank you guys for waking up too.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A Florida beer company's found a special way to help shelter dogs find homes. Motorworks Brewing in Bradenton is working with Manatee County Animal Services to put photos of dogs on their beer cans. These dogs are up for adoption. That's pretty cool. Proceeds from the limited edition brews will go toward building a new shelter.
Wow.
So one, they're giving money from the actual beer. And two, they're putting dogs on the cans. That's pretty
cool.
I also saw a story about a girl in the last few weeks, instead of having, she had maids of honor. I know what it was. Instead of the maids of honor carrying flowers, they all carry puppies and it adopted.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Down the wedding. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
That's good.
Good idea.
And I like this. I'm going to shout them out again. Motorworks Brewing in Bradenton. Pretty cool. I'm looking at the beer cans here, and here are the dogs on the sides of these cans.
Love it.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good. The Bobby Bones
Show. I'll read you a quote from a very famous movie. Just name the movie. So I'll read the quote, you answer, and then I'll play the clip.
Okay.
For example, if I were to say, my mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
Forrest Gump.
Right.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
So what I'll do, I'll read you a quote. You get it right, you stay in the game.
All right.
These are all pretty easy. I got a lot of them.
They're all kind of like this, like Forrest Gump?
They're all from Forrest Gump.
Perfect.
The answer to every one of them is Forrest Gump. Amy, ready?
Ready.
I'm not going to do the impression. I'm just going to read the quote.
Oh, good.
I'm the king of the world.
I'm the king of the world. I'm the king of the world. I mean, I know what it is.
What movie is
so
that?
Say it.
I know, I'm thinking it. But that's right. It's like a, I'm the king of the world.
Do you think I should act it out, Mike, or no? No? Okay.
You just say it. But yep. I mean, I know that that's what it is. I'm the king of the world. I'm the king of the world. I don't, my brain is Lion King.
Lion King.
Makes sense. Of course,
yeah. No, the answer is Titanic.
Oh.
I'm the king of the world.
Basically how I said it.
You said it right, but you didn't get the movie.
Did you think Mufasa said that?
Yeah.
I just was saying something that came to my brain.
You've been eliminated.
I know, which is so sad.
Lunchbox.
Yep.
Name this movie. You as kind, you as smart, you as important. Name this movie. See, Amy knows this one.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah. You as kind, you as smart, you as important. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You as kind, you as kind. The only thing I can think of, What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
That is incorrect. Amy, you want to help him?
The Help.
The Help, yeah.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important.
Eddie, if you missed this, everybody's back in.
Okay.
Yes, miss it.
Well, but if I get it right.
If you get it right, you win.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Come Iconic on. Movie quotes. Eddie, I'll have what she's having.
Huh? Huh?
I'll have what she's having.
Now all I hear is, I'll have what she's having. I'll have what she's having. Spaceballs.
Oh, what's eating Spaceballs? No. When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
have what she's having.
Because she's at the table like, oh. Yeah, and the person across her goes, I'll have what she's having. Okay, well, you all are losers.
Perfect.
You're welcome, guys.
All right, we'll see you next time on another round. Well, you want to go another round?
Yes.
Let's do a write it down, though.
Okay.
Everybody's in? Here we go. Write the answer down. Next up, I'm your father. I am your father.
I'm in.
I'm not giving it its justice at all. Makes the game harder. Well, I am your father.
I'm in for the win.
Oh, I'm your father.
It can be any of those.
I'm in.
Amy.
Star Wars.
Lunchbox. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
There you go. Gors, call me your father.
I'm your father.
Okay. How about this one? Oh, you want to play that, Ray? Sorry.
No, I am your father.
There you go. How about this one? Wax on, wax off. Yeah, wax on, wax off. Now it's Mickey Mouse. Wax on, wax off.
Oh, gosh, that could be anything.
In for the win.
I'm in.
Amy.
Karate Kid.
Lunchbox.
Karate Kid.
Eddie.
Karate Kid.
Nice. Okay.
Wax on, wax off.
There you go. Good.
Paint the fence.
How about this one? I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Say it again.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'm in.
Shoot. What?
Listen to his voice, Amy.
I know, I am. Do you have it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
Listen to his voice.
Yeah, listen to his voice. Do it again, Bones.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Okay, that's not.
It's perfect.
What? No, you're lying.
I'm in for the win.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse. I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse. I mean, I feel like I know this movie inside and out, but I'm just guessing it.
Amy?
I don't remember this scene. Pretty Woman.
You just skipped out on
no.
that scene.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know every line, but
Lunchbox.
I can see her saying
it's one of two movies, and I don't know which one it is. I guess Scarface.
Incorrect. Eddie for the win.
What is it?
Eddie?
The Godfather.
There he is.
Oh.
Yeah!
I switched.
Here is the, play it for him.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'm gonna make him
another.
Eddie, you win again.
Baby!
That's crazy. All he does is win. Wow.
Dang. Wow. Thank you, guys.
Wow. Good job. Good game, Mike D. That's a Mike D production.
There
it is.
Yeah.
Mike D went and saw Little Women, which has 6 Oscar nominations. Are you interested in seeing Little Women?
Yes. But I'm not gonna go to the theater. Whenever I can watch it at home, holla at me. Because, yes, my mom kept Little Women, the book, like on our coffee table growing up. So,
well, everyone that sees it that I've seen has been a female.
Mm-hmm.
They've been like, love it. Well, Mike D went. He has a podcast called Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. What'd you think of Little Women?
It was very artsy, maybe a little too artsy for me.
Oh.
So it wasn't like knock you down great to a dude.
Not to me, no. But the acting in it is really good. There's a bunch of really good actors in it.
But did you feel it when they were like, I could never love anybody more than I love my sisters?
No.
Are you close to your brother?
Yeah.
How often do you guys talk?
Probably. I mean, we text every day.
Oh, so real close.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so you didn't watch Little Women and think about your brother?
No, it didn't occur to me at all.
I don't know. Okay, so what do you give it?
3.5 out of 5 carriages.
Carriages.
Yeah.
Is that Timothy Chalamet in it?
Chalamet.
Yeah. I like that guy because you know what movie he was in that I liked? That Bird Face.
Bird Box?
Yeah, no.
I mean, Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. Yeah, I liked his character on Lady Bird. He's in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the same guy.
He's like plays the band.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 3. And there's a new episode today of Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
Yeah, there's a new one.
What are you talking about? What?
I'm talking about songs that got famous for movies. And also the top 5 movie franchises of all time.
Oh, wow. Songs that got famous from movies. Dirty Dancing.
That's one.
That song was only written for Dirty Dancing, specifically. The last one, right?
Yeah.
I've had the time
of my
life.
It was like the last
life.
Song they found. Yeah. And it's the biggest scene.
Did you know that? It wasn't a big song.
Oh, yeah.
They found it for the movie.
I watched it.
And I've never been this way before.
I
never seen the movie.
And I swear.
But I did watch
gosh.
Movies that made us.
I know. You watched that, but then you didn't want to watch the movie.
You should watch it.
The movie's
good.
Fantastic.
I watch How It's Made. I don't need to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I like
no.
the part where Sylvester Stallone goes, Now, who's in the movie?
No, Patrick Swayze.
I like the part where Patrick Swayze goes, I don't know, I'm not a dancer. And they had to like go investigate his past in real life.
Yeah.
And prove he was a dancer.
Yeah, that wasn't in the movie.
I know, but in the movie that made us, that's how he got the role. They were looking for a dancer and they're like, what about Patrick Swayze? And it's like, he doesn't dance. He says he doesn't dance, but his mom was a dance instructor and he just didn't want to be known for dancing.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you should watch the movie though.
That's it for today. I'm in Hawaii. I shall film today. I mean, we wrap.
You surfing at all today?
I have a scene to shoot today.
Surfing?
On a paddleboard, a stand-up paddleboard with a contestant.
I'm talking about.
They hit me up and they're like, will you go on the water and shoot with a contestant? And I was like, you're going to put a mic on me on the water? I'm going to fall in.
Well, it's just batteries, Bones. It's not going to kill you.
No, not me. But if that goes in the water, the whole setup,
it's ruined.
It's dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get to keep my shirt on, right? And they were like, yeah. So. And I get to be in the opening of the Hawaii. Last year, I didn't get to be in the opening. This show has really like embraced me this season.
That's amazing. I love it.
It's crazy. I know. Even I'm like, are you sure?
I know. Anytime
like,
you
I'm
post
questioning
anything.
It. I'm like, are you sure you want me in this? This is a joke.
I'm like so proud of you. And obviously, I think it's like so amazing. But anytime you post a thing and it's like all five of y'all are in the pic, I kind of look to see. I'm like, did he add himself in?
Me too.
Like, they might be
photoshopped me in.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, what happened? But like, no, you're legit in the picture. And I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, they're being really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just that. And then I'll fly back tomorrow night late, which puts me back to Sunday. So this has been a really long. I flew for 2 days to work for 2 days and came right back.
Yeah.
But great. Amy, you?
I'm like a mom date night tonight with the kids. Like, just me and them, and they get to pick out whatever we're going to do. And so, I don't know what that is yet. When they get home from school, we'll decide. And then, I'm watching that Taylor Swift documentary this weekend. It's out today. So, that will be happening. Miss Americana.
Miss Americana. Have at it. See you guys. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. Bye, everybody. Bobby Bone, come on.